And a very good afternoon to you. Welcome along on this Friday afternoon to Mooney Goes Wild. We have a very full house. Philip McCabe, our B-man, is here. Aina Nilana, Richard Collins, and Don Connor, for some reason, is still standing up in the studio. Are you going to sit down?
Oh, well, yeah, okay.
I'm here.
Why are you standing? I'm very, you know, in my presence.
Well, you're getting it. Anyway, well, you're very welcome, Don. We haven't seen you for a while.
Yeah.
And you were just back from the Rockies, I believe.
That's right. The Canadian Rockies.
And what are you doing there?
I was gallivanting.
Yeah.
Really enjoying myself. Basically, I went over to see my two sons. Mm-hmm. They're both there for the moment. And my niece. So it's an excuse to go over see them. And travel over the beautiful Rockies.
Mm, you've done lots of sketches. We've seen them. We put some of them, I think, on the website. Beautiful sketches. So you've seen everything and anything. Come on, tell our listeners. Why should we go to the Rockies?
Oh, it's magic. It's, you know, you step into this kind of, I would almost say, sacred landscape. You know, having been with a few people like the Crow and the Blackfoot tribe up there, and you just talk to these people.
So which state were you in?
I was in various states, you know. I was in Alberta, British Columbia.
So you had the two sides. You were at the eastern side of the Rockies,
yeah,
and the western side.
And there was
side.
Also, of course, Vancouver Island. You know.
So oh, did you get to see the orcas, or were they there
I
at that
time? I did. They were just coming in. You know, I was very lucky to see them. But to see black bears and grizzly bears.
Did you travel by train, Don?
No, I drove.
I drove by. The train is a nice journey to.
Yes, so I hear. Yeah, I'd love to do that.
And you'd never been there before. That was your first time.
Well, I was there years ago, you know. So
do you think we should do the next Mooney programme from there?
Not a bad idea.
No, not a bad idea. You're going to have to pay for it, ain't it? RT won't be paying for that, for sure. So you're back and you're alive and all that kind of stuff.
I am, thank you.
And you did lovely sketches. So, I mean, I'm looking at the sketches and we have them on our website for people who are interested. Did you get to observe the animals in the natural habitat, or was it fleeting glimpses, or was it a photograph you took and then you sat down and did some sketches? How did you do it?
Well, it was, I had a very kind of little small camera, nothing fancy. But I was lucky enough to be brought to places where the animals were, but that helped a lot. So you could actually see black bears. I saw seven black bears and a little cub coming down from a tree, you know, stuff like that.
It's wonderful.
Absolutely amazing.
Yeah, I mean, you've got one striking photograph of a black bear in the Rockies.
Yes.
And then a wonderful sketch of same. It's quite extraordinary, I must say. Have a look at that, guys. It's wonderful, isn't it? Look at that.
Yeah,
I know it's radio, and I'm saying have a look at that, guys.
But
you can see it on the website, rte.ie/Mooney.
Yes, the bear is with lovely brown or red flowers beside him there.
Yeah.
They're presumably part of the native flora.
Yeah, the amazing thing, that time of the year, you know, they're very hungry, but they're grubbing for all kinds of things, but they eat an awful lot of...
So what time of the year when you say that time of the year?
Well, kind of May, June, July.
So they just come out of hibernation,
yeah.
So they actually do hibernate and then they're starving.
Because the whole kind of climate is sort of behind, so to speak, most of the other places in Canada. But
So spring and summer comes later.
They do, yes.
Yeah.
But it was just extraordinary because years ago, when I was a young little boy, there used to be a record in the house, and it was called the International Jim Reeves.
Mm, you're a big fan of Jim Reeves.
Well, I was going to tell you something about it. No, well, that was, so on that album, there was a song called Blue Canadian Rockies. And here it was, you know, a few weeks ago, standing at Lake Louise, which is referred to in, and the whole kind of haunting quality that was in Jim Reeves' song and his voice, it really sort of reverberated in my head, and I could see exactly what he was trying to convey in the song.
Mm-hmm.
And then I come back, what happens?
What happens?
I got a belated present from you.
That is right.
Of
Jim Reeves' records. CDs.
Yeah.
So much appreciated.
You're welcome, Don. They were sent in to me. It's kind of a compilation of his
work. Oh, you didn't
work.
Go out and buy them at all.
No. They came in to me, and I remember Don 30-something years ago mentioning Jim Reeves and that he liked Jim Reeves.
Yeah.
And I said, I'll stick him in the post.
And, of course, it was his anniversary on 31st of July. Mm-hmm. So... thank you.
You're welcome.
Yeah.
We might find the song, we might even play it. Now, a terrific picture is, again, on the website of you and in the middle of the road with some snow around the edges and a raven right in front of you. Yeah. Now, how close do we ever get to ravens? We don't.
It was quite extraordinary. It just came down. And again, it harks back to an awful lot of the myths and legends, you know, because the raven's very much valued in the sort of Native American culture. In Europe, it's more considered a sinister bird, because of its bad habit of feeding on corpses in the Middle Ages now when they were left hanging by the side of the road. But in places like Canada and America, this bird is a bird from the spirit world in a more positive way.
You mean so it's somebody who has passed into the spirit world and comes back as a raven sort of thing?
Yeah, and also it can be a messenger to the two worlds.
You met some of the local Indian people, or the Native Americans, as they're called. What
they call themselves
they?
Indians.
They do, yeah.
Funny enough.
Yeah.
Or, you know, when I've been politically correct, call them Native Americans. A fellow, we're in Canada.
And yeah, exactly.
We don't call ourselves
Native Americans. Part of the creation myth, isn't he? The Haida Indian myth is about a raven.
Well, the raven went off and never came back.
The raven came down and laid the eggs from which the world is an egg laid by the Haida Indian. I remember this.
Now go back and explain that in more detail, would you please?
You know the magnificent totem poles that you see?
Yeah, just speak up a tiny little bit.
There used to be one in the bear enclosure in Dublin Zoo, I remember. It was presented by Canada to Dublin on some occasion or other. But these beautiful totem poles, the traditional totem pole, these are produced by Haida Indians of British Columbia. There's a marvellous museum near Vancouver with these in it. But anyway, and the raven features. And the raven is a creation bird. Every country, every nation has its creation myth. The particular one we have here is the Jewish one, Book of Genesis. The modern science one is the Big Bang kind of thing, but they're all creation myths. And the one the Haidas have is this bird, the raven, coming down from heaven.
Now, can I before you continue, you're adding the word myth in there, aren't you?
Yeah.
Okay,
of course, I was going to describe them as myths.
I know, but it's your opinion.
My opinion is that they're all myths, they're all, we all have
Does he ever talk about that, and that's only his own opinion, so why would you think it was?
Making sure he's not
anyway. On behalf of RTE.
Yeah, exactly. Yes.
I'm trying to dimly recollect this, and I probably got it all wrong, but I gather that the raven laid an egg which is the world. John, have you've come
That's
across
it.
This a bit closer to
me? No, you're right. That's exactly it.
Develop it a bit. It's a very interesting thing, but it's a beautiful art form, this Haida culture. It is absolutely exquisite.
Well, there were beautiful, as you say, totem poles. You found them in Banff and you found them in Jasper. And some of them were worked on by just two brothers. And it's a great tradition that's been passed down. And it's quite extraordinary. The raven and the thunderbird feature very, highly on these.
What's a thunderbird?
The thunderbird, again, it's like a very, very big raven.
And it's an actual bird.
It's a mythical
bird. Yeah.
Sometimes in some of the cultures, it's a golden eagle, but a much bigger version of it.
Mm.
And this great kind of crypto Scientologists who claim that it gets seen occasionally, you know, a bit like the Yeti or the whatever.
So the totem pole is actually a trunk of a tree. The reason the height of it is because it's actually a whole tree trunk which they carve.
Yeah.
And do they put these birds on the top or are they carved
sides of it? It depends.
Can you describe what they might look like? Are they painted or are they just carved?
They're actually carved first of all and then they're painted. And it's absolutely extraordinary. You know, can I imagine Easter Island have their lovely stone carvings in places like, especially British Columbia. They have these fantastic
and they can be 100 foot long, could they?
Mm. Oh, easily,
the length of the tree, no bother,
And sometimes after 100 years, they perish. But they go and they get somebody who's very skilled to come and renew it.
Mm.
They may do a totally different one, you know. But the totem pole is, you know, you almost feel the energy when you walk around it, you know. It's like the carver imbues their kind of power or their belief system into it. So you walk around, you really get a sense of mystery, which is lovely.
The third totem animal is the orca. He features in this art as well.
Yeah.
But I remember going to an exhibition of totem poles in I think, British Columbia. And what should be there, only the one from Ireland, had been returned temporarily for the exhibition. And there was a little plaque on it saying it was the one that I had been seeing in Dublin Zoo, which is a very strange thing.
And did it ever come back? Is it in the zoo now?
I don't know where it is now. It's not.
It
well, you see, the black bears are no longer in the zoo. We had black bears. years long ago, but they're not there now. So there's no reason to put up a totem pole. But it suited, because when there were bears, the black bears, it suited to have this totem pole as part of that culture, which made sense. But it wouldn't make sense if you didn't exhibit bears, you wouldn't have it. But I don't know where the totem pole is. It would be very interesting to find out. It's a government property, by the way.
It's in somebody's house, probably. Anyway, Don, especially for you, just for you, we're going to play a little bit of Jim Reeves.
Ah, very nice.
In the blue Canadian hockey, spring is sighing through the trees, and the golden poppies are blue. Down the banks of Lake Mead.
Now, Don, you've brought in three books for us to give away. Do you want me to tell me what they are, please?
Yes, it's called Wexford's Wild Heritage. And Alan McGuire, Chris Wilson and Don Connolly put it together. And basically it's to celebrate Wexford Wild Heritage. And as you probably know, I'm living in Wexford at the moment. So it was great to get to know the whole place.
Yeah, you moved from Dublin.
Yes, recently. Yeah.
And are you happy down in Wexford?
Well, I love Wexford, yeah, but I also love Dublin. So I'm getting the best of both worlds at the moment.
All right. OK, so we have to have a question. All right, so here's the question. Loch Garman is the Irish name for which county? That's fairly straightforward. Text your answer to and your name to 51551.
RTE Radio 1.
And the winners of Don's book, Wexford's Wild Heritage, Tony McIlwain from Cabinteely in Dublin, Deirdre Teckelborg, lovely name, from Blackrock in County Dublin, Stephen Clark from New Ross in County Wexford. Books are on the...